B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And because the players have not moved off of that position where they would be paid 100% of that prorated salary, we're in this complete mess right now. So when the union said to the league, please tell us when to play, tell us where to play, they were essentially saying to them, make that schedule, but MLB doesn't need to do that. On top of that is the health and safety protocol. There is no signed agreement at this point for players and the league to figure out how they're going to get back and play amid the pandemic. So that's another issue on top of the schedule being set at this point. It's a mess. It is a complete, unequivocal mess. And when Rob Manfred said to Carl Ravitch earlier this week, we will 100% be playing this season, this is a big test to see if that's actually true.
Jeff Passan over the weekend calling the Major League Baseball impasse a mess, a complete and unequivocal mess. And it has occurred to me what this mess is over. And it's even more mind-numbing. And that's how we will begin today on a Reentry Monday here on Felger Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. DraftKings, again, presenting sponsor there. The Reentry Mondays are brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank, myself and Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz on location. Hi, Maz.
Could you?
Peachy, thank you so much. So this is what this is over, this complete and unequivocal mess. It's over, like, really, when you think about it, 30, 40, 50 games, something like that.
Yeah, right.
Because they have the deal for a 48, 50-game season. They have that. As Tony Clark said over the weekend, shutting off talks, he says, Tony Clark, the player's head, that the player's stances have fallen on deaf ears. It unfortunately appears that further dialogue with the league would be futile. It's time for us to get back to work. Tell us when and where. So they've got the deal on 50 games or 48 or 54, whatever that is. They've got that deal. These two sides, the union and the players, I'm sorry, the players union and the league, is trying to figure out how to get to 82 or 76. They can't even, Maz, get on the same page in the same room, agreed upon what they agreed upon 3 months ago over 26, 30-something games. Think of that.
Oh, yeah. Look, again, it's a joke. The whole thing has been a joke. And when I hear Jeff Passan say, you know, it's a mess, it's been a mess. It's been a mess for a while. You don't end up at this point without it being a mess from the very beginning. That is my point, you know, to Passan. And as far as your point, Mike, there was a good story that Passan did a couple of weeks ago that would have left that left everybody's head spinning. Like, your head would pop off like a top with the numbers. But the takeaway was this: $10 million a team, $10 million a team, and this thing would be over. It's $300 million, somewhere in that range. Just $10 million a team. How many bad contracts have the Red Sox signed for $10 million per year? A million of them. Now, look, it's a bigger hit for some of the small market teams, but you get the idea. In a business like that, it's pocket change. It's pocket lint, for crying out loud. And so the whole thing is embarrassing. And, you know, then them trading barbs via email. The MLBPA issued a statement Saturday night. MLB issued its own statements. God, the whole thing's a joke. Mess. It is. It's a joke.
The emails, they're not statements. They are, well, they've turned into statements, but what they are the lawyers, you know, picking at each other, going back and forth in their letters. Okay, so these lawyers are sending each other letters, and they're making them public, is what they're doing. So they, you know, essentially turn into statements. The thing I just read you from Tony Clark was a statement, but those lawyer notes are just the lawyers going back and forth and saying, oh, you know what, I think I really got him here, so I'm going to release it. And then the other side releases their letter from their lawyer to the other guy over what amounts to 30 games. Because they've got the 50. They've got the 50. The players get full prorated salary. They gave Manfred the right to do the 50-game schedule if that's all that he wants to do. Tony Clark says, tell us when and where. So they got that. They have that in the bank. And they can't go from 50. They can't get to 82. They can't negotiate 32 games. Think of that.
Oh, it's mind-numbing again. absolutely freaking mind-numbing when you're talking about a business that size to be quibbling over what they're quibbling over.
Just give me the second pass and cut, Stu. Let's hear more. This is more to the nature of the negotiations between the two sides.
The problem now, though, Steve, is that Major League Baseball says the revenues coming in this year are projected to be only about $2.75 billion. The players do not believe that number. They have asked for documentation to back it up. The league has provided some documentation. The players have said, no, it's not enough. It's redacted too much. It doesn't tell us what we want to know. This is what a nasty labor dispute looks like. And the way that it has taken the twists and the turns, the way that they have not talked to each other, but talked past one another, it's like they're negotiating completely different agreements at this point. And that's why we're finding ourselves, Steve, where we are in the middle of June with no agreement in place, no spring training in sight, and no beginning of the season set, and really no idea if or when baseball is going to be played.
They're getting farther and farther apart over 32 games because they've got the 50, if you understand what I'm saying. And, you know, Clark says, just tell us when and where. Okay, just impose the schedule and let's go. Oh, I think that's a feign, too. I think that's a head fake, too, because as Passan said in the earlier cut, Maz, they haven't agreed to protocols. They haven't agreed to the return to play. You know, again, all the specific protocols in every building. You can use the tub, you can't use the tub, masks, blah, blah, blah. Like that all, I don't think they've even approved that. So when the owners say, okay, spring training starts in 2 weeks, schedule starts August 1st, ending September 27th, 48 games, here we go, there's when, there's where, see you then. The players are going to say, no. What about player access to the back room, blah, 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 like they have to go through that whole thing. And you watch the players hold it up on that. This is a union lawyer, Bruce Meyer, to Deputy Commissioner Dan Halem. Again, they just made their letters public. If it is your intention to unilaterally impose a season, we again request that you inform us and our members of how many games you intend to play and when and where players should report. It is unfair to leave players and the fans hanging at this point, and further delay risks compromising health and safety. We demand that you inform us of your plans by close of business Monday, June 15th. That's today, is it not?
It is.
It is.
So are they going to inform the players' union of their plans by the close of business today, June 15th, Maz?
I doubt it. Seriously, because then again, you're giving, you know, you're letting the players dictate when you actually act. So now, look, I don't know what deadline MLB has in its head in terms of you got to get players in camp and then, training. And if we want to start the season August 1, then here's where our cutoff is. My guess is that they would want this thing resolved by the end of the month, but I'd be shocked if it's today.
Okay, so this sport. You want to weigh in on the state of it, by all means, 617-779-0985. Obviously not the first day we've done this topic. It did coincide last night with another 30 for 30 special on ESPN, the Maguire-Sosa home run chase of 1998. A couple different facets to get into related to the special, but how I want to tie it in is that the last time baseball really lost significant games and play action to a labor strife was obviously 94 when they lost the World Series into 95. And I think rightfully so, the steroid era and the home run chase of 98 has been credited with saving the game at the time, bringing it back and bringing it back into the national conscious. And that's how Major League Baseball regained what they lost from their last real labor Armageddon. And that happened, the special was last night. So I ask you now, if we're going to have another labor Armageddon, and baseball needs to save itself and flip a switch, opened up a faucet, you know, like they did again in the steroid era and the home run chase. That's how they came back. What does baseball have now? Anything? Does it have anything? Does it have anything it can do? Any record, any player, any team, anything. Does baseball have anything right now that could serve as the equivalent of Maguire Sosa saving the game in the late 90s? Does it have anything, Murray?
No, the one last thing that they had, they blew a few years ago when the Cubs won the World Series. That would be maybe the only thing that I think could garner real national interest And that already happened. So, no, I think it's too late. They don't have the likability with their stars that they did 30 years ago, and the game isn't as popular as it was 30 years ago. It's too late.
Interesting. The Cubs was the last thing. I didn't think of that. That's good. Maz, does baseball have anything they could do that would serve as the Maguire-Sosa equivalent now?
Well, short of overhauling the game, no. I mean, with the parameters you laid out, you know, what player, what team, what story, what record, no. So, and this is, you know, I think this hit a lot of people in the face last night, watching the Maguire-Sosa thing, because I made the same connection you did, where I sat there and said, well, this worked. In 1998, this worked. The America wanted something to feel good about from baseball, anyway. And these two guys provided it, and MLB, you know, we had the steroid era. Maybe they jacked the ball. Maybe they jacked the players. Maybe they jacked both. Whatever it was, Major League Baseball, in tandem with its players, used that strategy 20 years ago. Okay, they played that card 20 years ago. You can't play it now, because by playing that card, they obliterated the history of the game. If that's, and again, you know that it's a game deep-rooted in history, and the records meant something. So they were so desperate that they were willing to blow that up then to get people back. And it worked. It was worth it. For them, it was worth it. But you can't play it again now. Can't play that same card now, because the 73 home runs, does it really mean anything now?
Well, let me tell you something, Maz. They've played it. This is another thing. This is another thing that's happened the last couple of years. The Cubs winning, they've played the home run. They've tried the home run card. Did you know, and you might, that 2 years ago, Major League Baseball set a record for the number of home runs hit in a season by the entire league, all teams, 6,100. That was 2 years ago. Do you know last year they shattered that record by over 600 home runs? Last year, Major League batters finished with 6,776 home runs. That was 11% higher than the Major League record set 2 years before.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the top four home run hitting teams of all time came last year? Murray, what team in Major League history owns the record for most home runs hit in a season? I could give you all day, and it might be the 30th team that you guess.
Is it last year's Twins?
Yes, very yep. good. It's the first
Minnesota
team.
Twins, that's right.
I purposely didn't ask you, Maz.
No.
The Twins last year with 307 home runs have the and they beat the Yankees by one. So the top four home run hitting teams of all time are 2019 Twins, 2019 Yankees, 2019 Astros, 2019 Dodgers. Last year's Dodgers, Astros, Twins, and Yankees own the four highest single-season home run totals in Major League history. And fifth is the 2018 Yankees. So, Maz, they've already played the home run card the last couple of years, and no one gives a crap.
No, that's right. And the only difference is that you don't have, you know, the singular player running after a record, because the record doesn't matter anymore. In other words, they've diluted it so much, Mike, that everybody hits them now. Everybody. Christian Vasquez hit 20 home runs last year. So again, you didn't have anybody, any singular player making a run at Barry Bonds or even Maris for that matter. So, but overall, they're happening with such great frequency from everybody that they've completely diluted the product, and now the home run doesn't mean jack.
Someone chasing DiMaggio's hit streak would be kind of cool, but I think overall that would be met with a collective shrug.
Okay, so I asked about that because, again, the home run thing.
So that's a good one.
Like, again, the top three home run hitters last year. I'm sorry. The average fan doesn't know who they are. They might know Pete Alonso with the Mets only because he's with the Mets. Eugenio Suarez was second with 49. I've never heard of him. And Jorge Soler? Jorge Soler with the Royals was third. Okay? Their Q rating, their collective Q rating, maybe 10% of sports fans could name one of those guys. Maybe, and it's Alonso because he plays in New York, but sports fans have no idea who Eugenio Suarez is. I had never heard of him. And Jorge Soler, I just kind of sort of heard of. I didn't know it was a home run hitter for the Royals. Those are your top three home run hitters. So they've played the home run card. That's over. I don't think a home run chase brings people back. Does a hitting streak? And I wonder, because I'll tell you, just from a selfish personal standpoint, My favorite record chase of all time in any sport was when Milder hit 39 straight in 1987. That's the most fun I've had following any. Like, I enjoyed that more than the home run chase. Like, it was my guy, you know, but the hitting streak was, I loved, exceptionally cool. Do you think if I asked the average young sports fan today what a hitting streak even is, that they would, do you think a 19-year-old kid could tell me what a hitting streak even is? Like, what that means?
I mean, not probably like before.
I mean, you know what I mean?
It's it's a good question. My 13-year-old could tell you what it is. He gets it.
Hitting streak, is that how many straight hits you got?
They probably think of Pete Alonso, who's like shirts off when he hits home runs.
Like, what does that mean, hitting streak? Oh, it's consecutive games with at least one hit. I bet you most young sports fans couldn't even define a hitting streak. Never mind get interested in one if there was a player that went on a long hitting streak, Maz.
So that's you're not going to hear any argument from me. It's just and look, that's a good one. Like, you know, it's a good one that I think could suck people in. It's also not so easy to engineer. You know, you can't just juice up the ball and have someone go 1-for-5 or 1-for-4 for 57 games in a row. It doesn't work that way.
Would a 400 hitter do it? Would a hitting streak do it? Would
400 might. 400's another good one, but I'll tell you what, I think they've already played that. I think baseball's already, they've minimized what the records mean. I think that's out the window. I don't think it'll work like it did before.
So that's the question for the audience. All right, so Maguire Sosa saved baseball in the 90s. Is there anything, the last time they had a labor Armageddon, okay, we're in it right now. Is there anything left? Is there any trigger left to pull, any faucet left to open, any button left to push where baseball could have the equivalent? Your thoughts at 617-779-0985.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
First of all, I mean, stupid to do. Pay the consequences, still do. But when there was no regulations back in those days, nobody ever talked about anything like this. Was against, there was no rules, there was no regulations, so it was only brought up to my attention that it would help through some injuries. So that's what the basis. By no means did I need to do it for strength purposes. I don't regret, you know, doing it. I mean, the bottom line is, if there was a drug testing back then, it would never happen. Would have never happened. I don't encourage, I don't want anybody ever to follow any footsteps like that, but it sort of sucks.
So that's Mark McGuire's lame-brained admission to steroid use, Matt. You're already shaking your head.
Because he misses the point. It's like it helps recover from injuries. Like, this is the one thing to me that the people always miss. It, you know, it doesn't make the bad hit the ball or square you up any better. First of all, it does. Okay? The whole thing improves. It improves your strength, your hand-eye, everything. Everything. But the biggest thing in baseball that it does more than any other sport, and they alluded to this last night in the documentary, it prevents you from getting fatigued. Which is, the game is built to break you down. That's the whole point. You play every day for 6 straight months. You're going to get tired. It's going to wear you down, and you're going to have a month where you hit 230 with 2 home runs. It's just the nature of life. Nobody can plow through working every day for 6 straight months, or very few people can. And so to say that, well, it helped me with injuries and my recovery a little bit, no, that's the whole point. You're able to play it closer to 100% every day for the whole season, which is why you hit 70 homers. Like, what don't they get about that?
Oh, still,
it drives me bananas.
Still the state of denial. It's crazy. It's like, after all this time, even after you admitted to it, you finally cop to it, Mark. and you're but you're still going to play the I just did it to recover from injury game. You didn't need it for strength when Canseco's taking you into the stall and shooting you up in Oakland. Like, would you just stop with this? Like, come on, man.
And Mike, I think I put this in the email exchange this morning. Sammy Sosa, 1997, hit 36 homers. The next year, he hit 66. He was a power. How many power hitters double their output the next year? It just doesn't. It's not real. And his average went up 50 points that year. Like, the whole thing was ridiculous. And I did this math years ago. His spike in batting average was almost entirely based on the other 30 home runs. In other words, everything was the same. He just added 30 home runs, and all of a sudden his average went up, you know, 50 points. It's a joke that they completely dismiss this idea of, like, well, it helped me recover quicker. Yeah, well, that's exactly it. That's the point.
And some of those shots, some of the balls that were hit, like McGuire hit going upper deck in that old Busch Stadium, it was just
bombs.
Oh, my God. And back then it was like, it brought you out of your seat. It brought you back to the game, and it worked. It worked. So, you know, leaving aside just this still state of denial about steroids and how they benefit, like,
I mean, it's just, I mean, we remember, but it's for anyone young that was watching, that's just obvious when they show, you know, Sosa when he was with the Rangers or McGuire when he was young with the A's. They look like completely different people by the time they got to their other teams.
Okay, so
they were cartoon characters.
So we can talk about that, but just for a second, leave it to the side. See, even if baseball wanted to do something like that again, do they even have anything? Because those tape measure shots that we saw last night are happening routinely in baseball. I think the balls are jacked, the stadiums are smaller, but, you know, whatever. There was a record number of home runs hit last year in Major League Baseball by over 600 home runs, by over 11%. Like, do you understand how mad? That'd be like someone setting a single season home run record with what? 80 home runs, right? Essentially,
right. Yeah.
If you go 10% higher, I mean, no one gives a crap. No one gives a crap. I mean, back in the late 90s, that was a time with Baseball Tonight. I told you, baseball's fallen so far that ESPN can't even show a highlight show every night. No one even gives a crap about the highlights. And we used to watch Baseball Tonight just to watch the home runs. Now, not enough people even want to watch the home runs that are flying out of the park. Just like last night, the ones that used to bring us out of our seat, now it's like yawn. So the home run, they can't flip that switch. They flipped it. It doesn't work. Can they flip a strikeout switch? They've set a record for strikeouts in a season, I think, for 25 straight years, Maz. Something absurd like that.
Yeah, I thought it was like a dozen or something, but whatever
it's
double digits. I know that.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I mean, they've devalued it so much that when Chris Sale hit 300 a couple of years ago, I was like, yeah. And I think most people are like, oh, neat. You know, back in the day, that would have been an incredible feat, and people would have been talking about it. And now it's just like, yeah, whatever.
So I'm sorry, Maz. You're right. 12 strikeouts last year. Major League Baseball set a strikeout record for the 12th consecutive season last year.
12 years in a row.
42,823, up 4%. From last year, and 33%, up 33% from as early as 2007. So do you understand how much what a change in the game that is?
Yep.
From just 07 to now, to have 33% more strikeouts? So that used to be the thing that we used to hitch our wagon to. Home run, strikeouts. Now the game, every year, is setting records in home runs and strikeouts, and no one gives a crap. So what are they... Is there anything baseball can do to bring you back? Anything?
Got to change the game.
Yeah.
See, the problem is when you eat filet mignon every night, eventually you get sick of filet mignon. They've made the home run so common and the strikeout so common that power is now devalued.
I mean, to me,
that's what they've done.
It's easy to say, well, bring back steroids. That was a great era. We all loved it. So, I mean, like, all of you put that aside. Yeah, bring them back. So what's that going to mean? It's going to mean more home runs and more strikeouts. I mean, it's not going to mean a more nuanced game. It's not going to mean a quicker game. It's not going to... So bring them back. Go ahead. Bring back steroids. You can't hit any more home runs. Maybe you can get the singular guy going after 74 in a season. Is that going to bring people back?
I don't think so. No, it's too late. And even the other things, like, again, the hit streak. 30 wins. That'll never happen again. Who's the last to do it? Danny McClain? You know, like, so things like that, I don't know, like, I guess I would be interested, even though I'm not the biggest baseball guy anymore, and that's putting it mildly, but I don't know, from it, like, what they got from the home run chase, that big national audience, I just think it's over. You'll never get that again.
They ruined it. It's done. That part of it's done. They ruined it. When they decided to go that route, they trivialized everything that had happened in the game up to that point in time. They ruined it. So now here you go. Here was this thing that was unattainable, that you couldn't get to, and then they all took needles and shot themselves in the ass cheeks, and that was the end of that. And not to mention the fact that they jacked the ball. So I remember by the end of that, watching the game, saying, this is a joke. This is like, it's a video game. It's wrestling.
And by the time...
with all due respect, Jimmy Stewart, it's pro wrestling. It's a complete joke.
And by the time Barry Bonds came around to breaking, it was only like 3 years later that he broke it.
Right.
I barely watched it. Like, I was gripped in 98. They had me. You know, hook, line, and sinker. I was watching every night. I was into it in 98.
Me too.
By the time we got to Barry Bonds, was it 01? I don't even remember the year. I didn't watch it.
No, neither did I. I remember when it got to that, I was like, oh, who cares?
Could have cared less. And now here we are 20 years later, and they're setting records for home runs. They're doing records, and no one gives a crap. So what do they have left? Is there anything baseball can do to bring back any switch they can flip to bring you back like they flipped with McGuire and Sosa in the late 90s? That's the question for today. We'll pick it up right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What are your thoughts on this impasse between Major League Baseball and its players? This disconnect, not only from each other, but also seemingly a disconnect from what we're experiencing as a country.
Right. It's a mess, Hannah. It's a real mess. There is so much anger and distrust between the two sides. So they couldn't reach an agreement. And now Major League Baseball is going to implement a season. And maybe the union will file a grievance. And Major League Baseball might file a grievance. And this is going to end up as certainly the strangest season that anyone can ever remember. Hannah, I covered the 81 strike. That was so vicious. I covered the 94-95 strike, and that wasn't much better. But this one differentiates even from those two, given what's going on in the country right now. And to have this bickering over money is a really, really bad look for baseball, certainly at this time.
So that's Tim Kirchen. Late 90s, it was saved by the steroid era, McGuire, Sosa, as we saw last night. What saves it this time? Anything? Is there anything possibly they could do to save it, even if it's a cheat? You know, like it was the last time. Even if it's a shortcut, is there anything there for him? The Cubs is a good one, Murray. Even that thing's gone. Even that bullet's been expended. So what's left? Anything? Is a hitting streak do it for you? 30 wins? I can't imagine. Frank and Rosendale, as promised, your phones. Go ahead, Frank.
You know what, guys? I'm going to be a little facetious when I say this, but the only thing they could really do at this point, just let everybody cheat. Just, you know, do anything you want. Instead of swinging.
They tried that, too.
You know what I mean?
But Frank.
Stick a needle in your ass before you come up to the plate. Then the pitcher can take a needle out of his pocket, stick it in his arm, he throws the ball 115 miles an hour. Let everybody cheat.
Frank, I think they do, okay? I think they do. You have record number of home runs, record number of strikeouts, which is what steroid use is going to get you anyway. You have teams banging on garbage cans in the hallway to tell batters whether it's fastball, curve. What else could they possibly do? I think they do all cheat, and I'm telling you, even if you just like literally needles sticking out of their asses as they come up to the plate. What are you gonna do? Hit more home runs? They're already hitting a record number of home runs, Maz. It's not going to do anything.
Well, see, so this is it. Like, this is it. I go back to that whole the thing in 98, because that's really where the home run thing all began. They tried to, you know, they tried to jack the game up, get people interested, and it worked. But now we've seen it. So now we know, like, no thanks. No, I already seen that one. I need to see something else. They've ruined it. They've ruined it. The only way to make it interesting again is to change the rules. You got to change the rules. You got to make it a different game than the one that is played.
Austin in the car. Go ahead, Austin.
Hey, guys. I heard you guys talking about earlier. You guys are talking about the 19-year-olds. I'm 19 myself. All my friends and I have played sports growing up. I can't stand to watch baseball nowadays.
Austin,
it's awful.
Hey, Austin, what's a hitting streak? Do you know what a hitting streak is?
Consecutive games with a hit.
Yes, question mark. You know, but you're right. You got it. But you barely know what that is. If there was a major league ball player who went on a long hit, do you know who holds the record for the hitting streak?
No idea. Couldn't tell you.
Okay. So it's Joe DiMaggio. Is it 52 or 54?
56.
56. Okay. Joe DiMaggio at 56. So I should have kept him on. If player X went on a 45-game hitting streak, would that bring you back? Would that bring someone back? I mean, I love the hitting streak. I liked Rose's streak in 78 or whatever year that was. I remember being a kid and being gripped by that. Molitor's one in 87 was absolutely my favorite record chase of any sport, any time, anything. I loved it. It's great. But does that move the needle for kids? Does that move the needle for – never mind kids, just –
It moves the needle for me. I would tune in because who was the last to come close? I think, Jimmy, you tweeted. Well, so, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Okay, but no.
I tune in to root against it.
Until the genius moved him up to the leadoff spot.
Right.
And killed his spot. Wasn't it 29?
29 in a row.
It was 29, which a pretty healthy streak. And then
John Farrell
Dingleberry there moved him from 9-1 and immediately he took an offer, which we called at the time. Thanks, John. But the last long hitting streak goes to. Stu, I know because he just told me in my ear. I never would have gotten it. When I tell you what it is and who got it, you're going to say, who the hell is that?
So to me, it's got to be anything over 30.
So
right?
31.
Okay.
And when was it, Stu? What year?
It was 2018 to 2019.
So, okay, so that doesn't even count for me. Like, it's got to
be in season.
It's got to be 1 year,
In the same season. But it was the aforementioned immortal all-star from the Kansas City Royals, Whit Merrifield.
That's your boy.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, so what's the last, Stu, without giving us the name, tell us the last hitting streak in season that got over 30 games. What year?
So there's a tie for three of them, but I'll give you the – yeah, so it would be 2016. 2016, it's 30 games.
Okay, so 2016, there's three players who had 30 games?
One was from 2016, one was from 2009, and the other was 2003.
Okay, so there's been – oh, see, it just never happens anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't. Because you know what? Because guys walk. They don't swing the bat.
It's so right. It's so true, Maz.
Because a walk's as good as a hit.
Hey, nerd. I know a walk's as good as a hit. I know. You had to go to Yale to tell me that? Oh, my God. So right, Maz. There's no hitting streaks anymore because these freaking nerds tell them just to swing out of your ass or let the pitch go.
Right, exactly. So I was just looking it up at the year that
Hold on. I was trying to guess. 2016. Give us a team.
Atlanta Braves.
Freddie Freeman?
That is correct.
Freddie Freeman. Good one, Murray. Good one. I wouldn't have remembered that.
2009. Give me the team.
Washington Nationals.
Luis Castillo.
Incorrect.
I couldn't tell you who was there in 2009.
I like having the answer more than I like guessing.
I'm not even sure he played for the Nationals for crying out loud.
Go ahead. Who was it, Stu?
Ryan Zimmerman.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Please, okay. That shouldn't count either.
But hitting streaks.
And then the third name. Do you want the third name?
From 03, give us the team.
It was 2003 St. Louis Cardinals. Right. Easier than you think.
No.
Pujols.
Albert Pujols is correct.
Okay, so, Maz, you wanted to know Barry Bonds' longest hitting streak in 01?
No. So I was going to tell you that one of the years where Barry Bonds, one of his final seasons, Mike, he walked 232 times. He hit 41. He had 45 home runs, and he struck out 41 times. So he had 373 at-bats, more than 300 of them. Now, again,
nothing happened.
A walk is not an at-bat. It's a plate appearance, but just work with me, okay? He had 373 at-bats, and yet he had 320 plate appearances where either walk, struck out, or homered. It's a joke.
And when I
nothing
say
nothing happens,
right.
Nothing happens.
The home run, I know it's a home run, but if you think of it a certain way, nothing really happens. No one moves on the field. There's no action on the field. It's just pitch, bat, ball gone. And again, in 98, I watched it. I loved it. Those tape measure shots brought me out of my seat. Now, I consider a home run nothing really happening. unless it's my team. And like that I think is the answer. The only thing that's left to bring you back to baseball is your team playing well, your team winning. Like what else is there? Like, that's it. That's the only thing that's going to bring me is if the Sox are in it, the Brewers are in it. Like, that's it. I can't. I do like a hitting streak. I think I would follow a hitting streak. I don't know if that moves the needle out there anymore, though. And you have to, oh, by the way, swing the bat to get a hit, to get a hitting streak. And the nerds now coming out of Princeton and Yale ask you not to do that.
Right. They don't. And they, when they do, when you do swing it, they don't want you to just make contact for a single. So they'd rather have you strike out. And to me, the only way a hitting streak matters is if it's someone huge. Like, again, if it's some rinky-dink guy nobody ever heard about, who gives a rat's ass? If it's a Derek Jeter type of player, then I think people will watch.
And it's still sort of cute how the baseball world is still kind of in this quasi-state of denial, which you got last night. And I say quasi because they know what was going on, but there's still like this, no, it was just for injuries, right, Mark? Just for injuries. I think Sosa gave you a little bit more, just a tiny bit more honesty. We'll pick that up on the other side with your calls.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger in Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The current owners of the Cubs seem to want you to say something about steroid use. They want you to, quote unquote, come clean.
But why did they worry about me when pretty much everybody in that era did it?
Why are they specifically focusing on you?
Exactly. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm a very happy person, my friend. I'm good. I'm happy. You know what I mean?
Do you feel like there's more pressure put on you to say something about this than is put on other players?
I ask you once again. And that list was about 106 players. It is about four or five, maybe more than that, in the Hall of Fame. So, you figure it out. So I am the one to blame?
So, that was a much better answer than Mark McGwire's. And then not that that was great. You know, I'm not saying let's throw a parade for Sammy Sosa coming clean. McGwire comes clean, but he says it was for injuries and it didn't help me get stronger. Oh, stop it. Sosa laughs and says, the whole league was doing it. Why is singling me out? Now, obviously, we're singling you out because you hit 66 home runs and, you know, whatever. You were chasing Roger Maris and...
The documentary's about you, not Brady Anderson.
Exactly. Like... Very good. So, I mean, like, yeah, so, I mean, you're going to get more questions, but fine. Okay, so that part he's being obtuse about. But the other part is, why me when everybody was doing it? No, I'm good. That list had 106 players on it, four or five of them in the Hall of Fame. And you're asking me? So at least, you know, Sosa's doing that. Well, look, everyone was doing it. This is kind of silly. And that's, to me, is a better answer than McGwire saying, I was just doing it to stay healthy. Stop with that.
I think they both suck. I think both answers suck. Because, again, Sammy... You know, everyone was doing it. Then what's the problem with saying, yeah, I was one of them? If everyone was doing it, just say, yeah, I was one of them. What's the big deal then? What are you still hiding for? Like, what? I do find it interesting that 20 years later, knowing what we now know about baseball, after all that time, you still can't even acknowledge that it happened? So, like, or that you were involved in it?
Right.
You still can't even do that? Like, I look at him and say, what are you, 15? You 13? What are you, a child?
So, but there is this sort of reluctance. And even the guys, you know, last night, the, you know, Costas and George Will and these, you know, these old farts they're bringing out there, they're still not the full sort of just head on, here's what happened sort of commentary on it.
I was stunned by that. I figured with those two being featured prominently in this thing, it would be a lot of finger wagging and steroids destroyed the game and harump, harump, harump. And it really wasn't. And even I got the balls on Bob Costas at the end saying, like, what it was, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, well, I'm not one to usually, you know, get high and mighty. It's like, well, of course, this is what you do. Why did they bring you in for this thing, Bob? Start bitching.
So it was obvious they just wanted to, you know, have you relive the glory of it and the feeling of it without, you know, it. That was a home run chase story, not a steroid story.
Right.
And also to get those guys to sit down. You know, they're not going to grill them and rake them over the coals and expose them and do that sort of thing. Like, otherwise, they wouldn't get McGuire or Sosa to sit down. So it was all, like, I get it. I understand. I'm not being outraged by it. But it is, like, boy, it took an... I think those comments came at the 10:50 mark, an hour and 50 minutes into the thing. They did a little half segment on the Andro. But they didn't get to the full steroid thing until an hour and 45 or so minutes into the effing documentary, which is like, good Lord, guys. But either way, the question before us is, that's what they did the last time to save the game. Is there anything they could do now? Any record, any team, anything, any facet of the sport that could bring you back like McGuire and Sosa did in 1998? David in New Bedford, go.
Hi, yes. My thoughts on baseball is I think the players need to approve the changes that need to make the game faster, because otherwise, right now, the game is too slow. For no nine-inning game should ever go over 4 hours, and then you have games that go 18 innings, and that's terrible, too. So they need to make the changes, and that's the only way I think baseball will be saved.
Okay, agreed. And it's not going to be overnight. It's not going to be the sensation, but can you get this, can you get the arrow pointed back in the right direction of having a watchable, consumable product? And that will take time. It may take another generation to get the thing back, but that's the one answer. It's the obvious answer. It ain't going to bring people, you know, flocking to the TV like they did in 1998. That I don't think that exists, just to answer my own question. But getting the game back, it starts with that, to have a 2 hour and 45 minute product and not a 3 hour and 45 minute product.
I mean, this guy wants a game to get under 4 hours, like, for crying out loud. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's got the right idea. Maybe that's a start. The average Red Sox game last year took 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours. Who's got 3.5 hours? Holy crap. I don't have 3.5 hours to give away. I can play a round of golf in 3.5 hours.
Doug in Rhode Island, go.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I usually call him with Jim Murray on the weekend. He might know me as Dr. Joint.
Dr. Joint, you need a better phone. You need to speak up. Hold it like a pizza. Please go.
All right. Yeah, I think baseball, they need to implement 7-inning games, pitch count, and an 82-game season, shorter season.
Okay. They need to tighten the whole product. That's obvious. So that's like, now that's a big pitcher radio, I mean, big pitcher baseball issue that has to happen. And that's a generational thing to get people slowly back to the sport, is to tighten up the product. Is there any quick fix? Is there any quick fix like McGuire Sosa?
No, I think it's too late. You know, electrify a random base. You know, if a guy, you know, hits it, he gets zapped. And they put a moat in center field. Like, I don't know. Like, that. There's nothing outside of something crazy like that that's going to get people like, wow, I got to see this.
I mean, we had a previous caller say, just let them all cheat. To which I say, okay, let them all cheat again. What do you want, more home runs? Because they just set a major league record in two of the last 3 years for the most home runs ever in a season. And last year, they blew it out of the water. Last year, there were over 6,700 home runs, and the previous record was 6,100 home runs. That was an 11% difference. Four of the top five highest hitting home run teams in history were last year, and the fifth was the year before. So you could let them have a needle sticking out of their ass, and it's not going to make a difference. They're already hitting the most home runs in the history of baseball by far. And more steroids is just going to bring more strikeouts. They have set a strikeout record in Major League Baseball for 12 straight years. So I would contend strikeout home run has helped grind the game to a halt. Just getting more of those is not going to save the game. So then what? How do you save the game on a short-term basis? How do you bring? Is there any record that you would be interested in?
Nope. I mean, look, half of me is being a wise ass, but half of me isn't. Like, what? So again, the hitting streak's a good one because that is sort of a day to day, season long thing. That okay, a guy gets to 40, like all of a sudden, hey, now did he get a hit last night? Like, I think you could see some of that. I'll even allow. I don't know which one of you guys said 400, whether it was you, Mike,
yeah,
or Murray. 400's another good one, but that's one that doesn't really catch fire until about August. And so, you know, then you get to August, it's like, okay, well, now you got a chance. But in this day and age, with the way their approach is at the plate, nobody's going to come close. I don't even know. What was the highest batting average for a guy in the major leagues last year?
Oh,
anybody?
Yeah, I think I gave it to you, and no one knew who the hell it was. Hold on. Stand by. Hold on.
It was great. Most hits you asked for.
So most hits was the immortal Whit Merrifield. Hold on. Let me see. Oh, no. This is another one. Don't close your computer, Stu. Who led Major League Baseball in batting average last year? Stu, we just did this last week.
Fantasy. I can't play sound if I close my computer.
Fantasy. Come on, fantasy boy. Has anyone ever heard of Tim Anderson of the Chicago White Sox?
Oh, yeah, you did do Tim Anderson. Yes. He's a shortstop. He was a high draft pick of the Rays.
Tim Anderson led Major League Baseball in batting average last year, .335. I could give you all day to tell me what position he plays, who he plays for, his history, and you wouldn't know, and I'm not talking to you, Stu.
Okay.
I'm talking to you out there.
I told you his history.
Tim Anderson, so Maz, you said, you know, a batting chase?
A 400 chase. Like, yeah. If someone was legitimately going to hit 400, maybe. Even then, I'm not sure that has the juice anymore.
It would depend on
the player. I'm not sure any of it does.
Right. Exactly right. It would be the player. Like, it's... Just
if Trout was doing it, even though he's not as big of a name to the casual fan as he should be, he's still a name. So
yeah,
he's
yeah.
The biggest name
no,
in the
it's
game.
A good one, though, Murray.
Yeah, if he's doing it, people will tune in. The casual fan will tune in. If it's who was the guy from the Reds?
Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Eugenio Suarez. If Eugenio Suarez challenged Barry Bonds' home run record. I'm not sure that would move. I'm really not sure people would tune in for Eugenio Suarez.
They wouldn't.
And that's not, I don't know a thing about the guy, but that's sort of the point. There's no identifiability. There's no.
He plays for the Cincinnati Reds.
There's no there with too many of these guys. And so I don't think a record chase, any stat brings you back. I don't think. Maybe the right guy in a hitting streak. Maybe.
If Pujols and Cabrera, players who have emotional history and long tenure, were on their last run going for a hitting streak, I think that has a chance to draw people in.
Yeah, or if Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge with the Yankees sort of both went on a home run.
They did in 2017, the year they cheated.
Yeah, so...
They hit 111 combined home runs in 2017.
But if they were, you know, sniffing in the 60s and they were getting up both of them and they were going back and forth like Maris and Mantle in 61, you know, if you had something like that.
Yeah, the year Stanton hit 59, he was in Florida. That got fun. I mean, it did.
He did.
Yeah, he hit 59 and he was fun to watch that year. I mean, he was hitting absolute freaking rockets. And so, you know, like a guy like that who was an absolute, you know, just bombs away. Sure, it'd be fun. Yeah, it'd be fun, but it wouldn't save the game the way it did in 98.
Let's pick this up on the other side after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.